thank the Lord for us being able to come together tonight. I appreciate those testimonies. I asked Reverend Conrad if he could have those who had special testimonies this week that I thought were of encouragement to bear witness to each and every one of you. And I'm thankful for you folks sharing those with us tonight. Amen. Along with some of the minister's song that Brother and Sister Gonzalez has been able to give us tonight. Thank you so very much. The Lord is good, isn't he? He's wonderful. I want to thank each and every one of you for allowing me to be a part with you. You give me such grace in allowing me to minister to you via Google Meet and not always being able to be present in our group and being able to share in another location logistically. And that becomes very, very important to me because I minister in not just our fellowship. I minister in two other churches and sometimes three. So it's a busy thing I'm a part of, and that's God's business, and trying to preach the word and being instant in season and out of season and trying to bear witness of the cross. We also have Focus Bible College we're trying to promote of late. I'm trying to get it into some new churches and things and trying to help with the expansion of Focus Bible College. And that's been challenging, but yet it's in prayer. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. And I love each and every one of you very, very much. We're going to be studying from the book of John, chapter 3. Not quite getting perfectly into the lesson we are or have mapped out for today, but we're going to get there. Just like last week, I kind of deviated from the norm because I didn't want to leave out anything. And we are going to talk about John exalting Jesus. John exalting Jesus, or lifting up the Lord. Okay? And the primacy of what he felt in bearing witness of the Christ. And I just pray that we will learn some wonderful things today and not just historical knowledge. And we will gain some insight in the scriptures. But first, let us pray, if you will. Lord God, whose Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, triumphed over the powers of death and prepared us for our place in the New Jerusalem, grant that we, who have this day given thanks for your resurrection, praise you and give you honor, and let your light shine upon us this evening. And you who lives and abides forever, touch this time together. Anoint us to be hearers of the word, and to go out and be witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ, bearing your love to this generation. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank the Lord. Turn with me, if you will, John chapter 3, verse 22. And we're going to read through verse 36. So we have quite a few scriptures to read. Like I have the last 2 weeks, this third week I'm going to read from the NIV, only because it's where I studied this thing from. Even though the study books are from the King James, and that's absolutely fine, I'm going to read our scriptures from the NIV today. But verse 22 of chapter 3. After this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside, where he spent some time with them and baptized. Now John also was baptizing at Anon near Salim, because there was plenty of water and people were coming and being baptized. There was before John was in prison. Okay? This was before John was in prison. An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. They came to John and said to him, Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, look, he is baptizing and everyone is going to him. A complaint was circulating. A little negativity was in the camp of the ministry of John. Somewhat maybe of jealousy, somewhat of just being anxious of what seems to be some of the diminishing numbers of those who John was ministering to. And they were concerned, and they brought this, quote, ceremonial washing or baptism subject up to John. Okay? They came to John and said to him, Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of Jordan, the one you testified about, look, he is baptizing and everyone is going to him. To this John replied, verse 27, a person can receive only what is given them from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Messiah, but I am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine and is now complete. He must become greater. I must become less. He must become greater. I must become less. The disciples of John here were jealous. They thought things, hey, just aren't the way they should be. And his ministry is kind of waning in a sense. But John is saying, don't worry about that. This is just exactly how it's got to be. Because the Lord is going to have to be lifted up and his name exalted. And he will draw all men unto himself and he will show forth the glory of the Father in his life. And John wanted them not to worry about who gets the accolades, who gets the praise, who gets the honor, and who gets the glory. But what's important is we're following after the will of God. And he knew what the will of God was and that Jesus, the Messiah, was coming. And he was a relative too, but bless God, he knew the ministry of Jesus and the importance of the messianic ministry that was going to become developed. And he didn't want there to be any question by his disciples about what needs to be done here. And that joy of mine is complete, he said. Why? Because this is what he had done. Prepared the way of the Lord. This is what he had done. His ministry was for preparing the way of the Lord. And now that ministry of Jesus is about ready to take off. Be able to move out. Begin to really touch all of Israel. Amen. The one who comes from above, verse 31, is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. Whoever has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. For the one whom God has sent speaks the works and word of God. For God gives the Spirit without limit. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whosoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. The one who comes from above is above all. Jesus is the one who's above, is above all. Too many times we have a pecking order in the church that seems to take precedence over reality of what we're doing in the body of Christ, and that is being servants to the Lord, love slaves unto Christ. And we forget who we are, and we begin to divide and put aside and lift up and exalt and all this stuff with our pecking order within the church. And we sometimes forget who we are and where we came from. Even though we brag about where we came from, yet at the same point, we're always looking for honor. And too many preachers and folks are looking for honor rather than honoring the Lord. They're looking for honor rather than honoring the Lord. And I don't want ministers in this church or saints of God to get that way. Just like John's attitude. Hey, man, I'm a forerunner. I'm preparing the way. This is all prep work so that God can minister to you through the power of the name of Jesus. And in our hearts and lives, we just prepare the way. We just minister some seeds and cast out some seeds and we try to put a little water upon it here and a little bit here and we try to tend to it here so that the Lord can bring forth his Spirit and touch it and see life come from that seed that is sown. But it's not going to happen until we prepare it and minister. When you minister the word of God, you know, it's not just, oh, hit or miss. It's, hey, here a little, there a little. I'm building something here. I'm trying to share. There are times, yes, when you don't have a chance to do that, when you might meet a person just once in your life and you want to share Jesus, you just have a 30-second time span or whatever, and you share what God's told you to do, or you try to do your best to show a little bit of love of God. But most of the time, if you're able, you want to prepare the way by ministering the word little bit by little bit, seeing where people are coming from, and let them find Jesus and let the Lord powerfully minister in their lives. But too many times we're worried about so many other issues. We're caught up with so many other things, and we're forgetting who we are in Christ and that we are preparing the way for the Lord, that the Lord might be exalted, that his name might be praised, and he might draw all men and women unto him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm just pointing to him, guys. I hope you're just pointing to him. It's not about Brother Vossen. It's not about Brother Wade. It's not about Brother Sean. It's not about Sister Jan. It's not about anybody else but Jesus in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. He's high and exalted and given a name above every name, that every knee shall bow and tongue confess that he, not me, but he is Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. We have too many people in this world trying to be lords over people. Hallelujah. Make people almost into slaves, etc. They exert their point. They're bullies, whatever they are. They try to have authority over people all the time. But the only authority I have is what God has handed me as an under-shepherd, or in respect to ministry and ministering unto those around about me. And I have been given through the scriptures warnings considering how I'm supposed to treat you as a shepherd, and how my heart should be in tending to you and ministering God's love to share Jesus with you and help you to be able to go in and out of the pasture and the parameters of the kingdom, and to bear witness to those around about of the love of Jesus Christ, and to see God's love minister in your life. And when I get the big head, or if I get out of sorts, or if I deny what I'm supposed to be doing and do something differently, you know, I'm not going to be blessed. I'm not going to be anointed. I'm not going to be touched of God. I'm not going to see the fruit of the Lord. Hallelujah. And you're not either. It's all about him, guys. It's all about him. The other day, I heard some people, and all they did was brag about so-and-so, and that person was just taking it in. And I sat there and said to myself, self, that's not too healthy, because they seem to be relishing it. I don't know about you. There's a way that you receive honor. There's a way that you receive praise. There's a way that you receive things that allows you to have a humble spirit and to continue to move on with God. And if you don't take care of protecting your mind by the armor of God and using the helmet of salvation correctly, you're going to allow things in your mind and heart, and you're going to think of yourself in a way you shouldn't, and you're going to treat the people of God in a way you shouldn't. And then God is not going to be glorified. You're not going to be able to prepare the way of the Lord, and you're not going to be like John and say, hey, it's all about him. It's all about him. It's all about him. You know, a lot of people know too much about what to say and how to say it in the church. We know the jargon. We know how we're expected to act. We know how we're supposed to do things. If you've been in the church a while, in the body of Christ, you kind of understand. But this isn't something to live out as a believer, your faith, in a way that should be just being lived out in a way that is acceptable to people. It needs to be lived out honestly to people and forthright, so that you and those around about you can bear witness one to another and help one another as you go forth in this walk of life. Hallelujah. If you're not open with me, if you're not honest with me, I am not going to be able to help you. If you don't share with me some things, I'm not going to be able to minister to you. If you hide some things from me, I'm not going to be able to help you get over those things. You got me? You got what I'm talking about here? Hallelujah. We need to be an open book before the Lord, and there are times we need to be open one with another. Now, you don't need to be open to every single person in the world. Don't get me wrong here. I'm talking about those in the body of Christ, those who you're accountable with or for or whatever. I'm not talking about just any old buddy. Okay? Hallelujah. It's better off a lot of things not being talked about. Okay? Hallelujah. Nothing wrong about being private about some things. But when it comes to those who we're accountable to or those we're working with, I hope we can be honest one with another. I've told you all about how important I feel it is to have prayer partners in the church. Covenant prayer partners. We're a church that talks a lot about covenant and how important covenant is. But yet, covenant prayer partners help you to grow in your faith and have a sense of responsibility in their approach in your life. They don't take it for granted, and they love you genuinely. They pray for you genuinely. They consider the scriptures with you genuinely. It's not a facade. It's not going through the motions. And if you are a covenant prayer partner with somebody and you're not being that way, you need to tell that person, hey, you know, I can't be your covenant prayer partner because I'm really not dealing with things according to what Brother Vossen is saying, et cetera, because I'm not being that way. Okay? I have had a couple people in my life who are my prayer led covenant prayer partners. Okay? They're people who I open up honestly with them about things in such a way that, hey, they just can share with me with them, and the Lord can touch them. We help one another to cut the mold, cut the mold that we need to be the believer we need to be and the servant of God we need to be. Okay? And it's important because it allows you to truly develop in the things of God and truly be accountable. You can't always go to your pastor. You can't always go to your pastor. You don't have him around about you enough sometimes. And that covenant prayer partner who you can talk to and get with, you know, a lot more can be said in your life and heart and help you in your walk with Jesus Christ. And I don't have all night to talk about that. As you know, I can. I mean, I have told you time and time again about discipleship and about working together and about how that covenant prayer partner in your life will be somebody who will become real and a wonderful inspiration in your life and a go-to that will help you. And they will see you for what you are and you with them, and you're going to help one another go into the mold which it, with Christ is wanting to develop you in. But let's leave that for a moment, okay, because I could, as I say, keep on going on that. But if you want to talk to me later about covenant prayer partners, you can come to me. You know, we have a lot in our ministry here that is about you guys. Nothing about Brother Vossen. Nothing about the shepherd leaders. The shepherd leaders, I want to have a heart for God and be responsible and honorable men and women of God. However, each and every one of you who have covenant prayer partners and work together for the kingdom of God and bear witness one another, you aren't going in this thing and serving God alone. And you're not on an island by yourself. And you are always knowing that there's somebody who's backing you up and helping you in the cause of God. Hallelujah. Too many times there's been people losing out in the kingdom because they never felt connected to anything and someone who really they could talk to at any time. Okay? And we need to have that in our hearts and lives. Hallelujah. But, you know, look me up and we'll talk about that more sometime. But John was being honest here. John was being honest here. We need to get to the place where he, the Lord, is being lifted up. And it's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about anything else but the Lord. Because if he is lifted up, he'll draw people unto him. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed. The glory of the Lord will be revealed. While Jesus continued his ministry in the country region of Judea, John was still baptizing people at Aenon near Salim. Evidently, there was an overlapping between the two ministries until Herod imprisoned John. Some of John's disciples approached him about an argument, and we've already discussed that a little bit already, that arose between them and a Jewish inquirer over the issue of ceremonial purification. Nothing is said about their vows, or excuse me, views, but the subject of baptism apparently had bothered John's disciples. Not only were Jesus' disciples baptizing as they were, but people were leaving John's ministry and flocking to Jesus. They were probably disturbed that their teacher was taking a back seat to the new face on the scene. He's taking a back seat to the new one on the scene. If you've lived long enough, you've seen a lot of that in some places. It doesn't matter if it's a rock star, a baseball player, football player, or anybody else, a pastor. It doesn't matter. All of a sudden, someone takes the back seat for someone else coming on. And you know something? If we handle that right in the body of Christ, we'll all be good. If we don't act like the world does it, we're going to probably be in good shape. But, you know, there needs to be honor given and then move forward and just progress. Hallelujah. But sometimes we don't handle it well. Sometimes it's tough for a pastor to take over a new church. I have never, thankfully, had to take over a church. That's not been my calling, not my ministry. I've home missions two churches, and I've ministered as an assistant or a ministry team leader in other places. But I've never had to worry about taking over another church. But what I do know about it, and as I've counseled others about it, is you've got to really have your ears up. Got to have the mind of Christ. You're, you know, kind of being assimilated in, and you're going to have to see a lot of things that are happening in the church or catch an understanding of what has happened in the past in order to be able to shepherd the people in the present. Don't just go in and say, well, I'm going to do my agenda. I'm going to preach my word. I'm going to do my thing. I'm the pastor now, and that's it, whatever. And I don't care about brother so-and-so. Don't be that way. Don't be that way. There needs to be an honoring and appreciation in some sense, even if it wasn't the best of situations, and to move forward in the grace and the power of God, and to be able to move forth with a good spirit and an understanding heart, and to allow the Holy Spirit to help you and beginning to heal that church, see the work of the Lord be done, and seeing God's grace. This, I have a cautionary note I want to give to all pastors who have become pastors of churches that they have taken over. Okay, and there are some on this session here today that are visiting with us. Be careful about, as you take over that church and as you minister in that church, remembering what has gone in the past, that you don't break everything down and bring protection for yourself around the ministry in such a way that it insulates you from any criticism. And this is what I mean. Too many churches, the pastors who take over churches that have had conflict. Some of you saints from Covenant Grace, you don't need to hear this, but this is for the other guys, whoever listens in, maybe on YouTube or whatever else we have this on. You will have a tendency to grab familiars, to bring around and insulate your ministry for protection, especially if you're taking over a caustic church, a church that's going through some struggle, or has some really tough-nosed deacons in the church, okay? You're going to want to protect yourself. So before you know it, because of criticism, you bring family members or others in and they start taking over positions in the church. Okay? Or good friends, you know? And you protect yourself with those people. Don't fall into that trap. Don't fall into that trap. It's okay to have some family members around and different things, but don't find yourself allowing yourself to get caught up in that trap of insulating yourself and using that. Okay? It's a dangerous thing. Okay? It's a dangerous thing. And I know a lot of pastors who have fallen into that trap. And then when they try to move on or do anything, the only thing they want to do is hand it off to their son, their daughter, their brother, or whoever else. And they keep it in the family. Everything's about keeping it in the family. And somewhere down the line, they're going to miss out on the will of God. Now, I have some good friends. I have some good people that I love that are it's like a family church. And most people on the board, a lot of them, are family. But their spirit has been tested and tried, and they're humble. And I have got no problem with that. Amen. I have no problem with those folks. But you better be careful. And in those churches I'm talking about, for the most part, they were home missions churches or something where, you know, it's just there's been no change of pastor. It's just been the way it's been. There's been nothing that's been qualified otherwise. But yet, no matter what, I want you to be careful. I want you to be careful because it's too easy for you to try to insulate yourself to protect yourself. Okay? And when you're coming under fire from people, you know, to do that and to bring out that mechanism as a wall. Now, that's a freebie. I don't know why I brought that out, but hey, guys, there you go. Now, John could have easily expressed jealousy, hurt, and betrayal as he saw his influence diminish and Jesus flourish. But John knew his purpose, and he understood that this change of devotion was exactly what was supposed to happen. Even the concern of his disciples did not shake his humility. John had already declared that he was not the Christ, but the one sent ahead to testify to Jesus as the Messiah. Once again, he reaffirmed his subordinate position. His subordinate position. What an attitude. What a heart. You know, John realized who he was. He understood his ministry. And he knew what he was doing. And he wasn't going to deviate from that. Okay? No matter if it got uncomfortable or those around about him became jealous. John used the example of a bridegroom and intended to illustrate his relationship to Jesus. Jesus is the bridegroom and John is the best man. The bride, that is, God's people, belonged to Jesus and not to John. Indeed, John was overjoyed to know that the people were going to Jesus, just as the best man at the wedding is thrilled to see the bride when she appears at the back of the sanctuary. In the Jewish culture, the best man supervised many details of the wedding and was responsible for bringing the bridegroom and the bride together for the wedding. John had completed this task by preparing the people's hearts, including his disciples, to meet Jesus. John then put into words one of the most important lessons that all followers of Jesus Christ must learn. Jesus must become greater while we take a step back. Like John, we can rejoice when this happens. At this point, it is difficult to determine whether the words in verses 31 through 36 are a continuance of John's baptism remarks or not. But in reflection, the most important thing to remember here is this, that everything was pointing back to Jesus. He must be given greater worship and honor, and that John had just prepared the way. Okay? Amen. Now I want you to grab with me, if you will, John chapter 4, verse 1 through 14. John 4, 1 through 14. And we're going to go into our lesson that is made for today, so to speak, or was where we are supposed to be at in our chronology. And that is talking about Jesus and being the Savior of the world, or in particular here, Jesus providing living water. Jesus providing living water. So John let us know that he was there to prepare the way of the Lord, and that we have to respect the place and the ministry we have and what God is doing. You need to respect the ministry you have. You need to respect the calling you have. Don't be jealous of someone else's calling. Don't be worried about this thing or that thing. Just work out what God has called you to do in the place you're at. And then when you're ready for a different assignment under the Lord, a different purpose in the kingdom, he'll prepare the way. He will show or open the door. But for now, just capably and with a humble heart, serve the Lord in the capacity and the service he's given you, without doubt, without fear, without trembling. Amen. Amen. So get, if you will, John chapter 4, verse 1 through 14. John 4, 1 through 14. I hope you got something out of what we've talked about tonight. And once again, as many times I do, I've digressed a little bit. So thank you for being patient with me sometimes. Sometimes I just get that way. Hallelujah. And hopefully I share some things that encourage your heart or give you wisdom or a pause to think. Amen. But verse 1 of chapter 4. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. Jesus did the preaching and et cetera, and ministering, but his disciples were doing all the baptisms and all some of the other peripheral ministry. They were falling in the place of action that God wanted them to do. And hallelujah, I thank God for each and every one of you who follow in the place of what you're to do. You all can't be Bible teachers. You all can't be administrative assistants. You all can't be shepherd leaders. You know what I'm saying? We all have our place under the kingdom of God. And we don't need to ever be jealous. And we don't have to worry about, you know, trying to climb up somebody else to get to the top. That's not what we should be. Many, many years ago, I was in a fellowship where they were having elections. And I had a certain position in this denomination. And, you know, they were electing people. And this one young man was so excited because he beat me in the election by 2 votes. And I heard him just right behind me saying, "Now we can do the will of God." And it's like, okay, all right. And I sat there and thought, okay, Lord, I was doing your purpose and everything else. But this guy was rejoicing in this victory and, you know, making some statement. And I sat there first and I was a little upset. I was a little mad. And I went to my pastor at the time and said, "That's just, you know, I just think that's not right, this gloating and everything else." He said, "Well, Brother Vossen, he's not as mature as you are. You're soon going to be a pastor of a church. You're going to be a whole missionary in a church. And this young man is getting on ministry. He thinks that this is the way to climb up, to do things, to be political." He said, "I like your spirit, Brother Vossen, that you're not political." That's what he told me. He said, "Brother Vossen, you're not political. You don't get involved in this stuff. You just do what Jesus wants you to do. And you'll be lifted up. You'll be put down. You'll move along, whatever it might be." And he said, "That position you have, you don't need any business with it anymore. You need to move on." And I appreciated that from my pastor. He told me, "I have to move on." And you know something? That's good. It was time for Brother Vossen to move on. I didn't need that. That wasn't to be my place anymore. Even though I enjoyed some of the things of it, I was doing some things in youth ministry I enjoyed. But God had another place for me. And part of this had to be cut off that I could move on as a home missions pastor. You know, God's timing's always right, church. God's timing's always right. Hallelujah. But in the midst of that, as you yield to what is God's timing, you know, don't get in conflict with, okay, this person that might be trying to climb up the top or whatever, and you see some maligned spirit, etc. Don't get involved in it. Just pray on it. And just let God take care of that as you move on. Let God take care of that as you move on. Amen. I thank God for my pastor because I know I was hurt by that. And I wanted to hold a grudge, but instead I didn't. And I acted like nothing ever happened. And a couple of weeks later, they came to our church. And I actually invited them to come and sing in a trio with us. He had a good voice. I had him sing in a trio with us. And we ministered in song just a couple of weeks later. So I thank the Lord that whatever we do, we try to do as unto the Lord. And that he's got to be lifted up. And it really doesn't matter, quote, if I'm here, there, or whatever. Wherever God wants to plug me in, I'm okay. How about you? Amen. So now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized them, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to the town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." So Jesus is breaking the code here. He is doing something that he is not supposed to do customarily. Verse 10, Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and the livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up unto eternal life." I like verse 15. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water." Hallelujah. That should be our attitude today. I know that was mine when I came to the Lord. "Lord, I'm ready. Give me this water." Hallelujah. "So that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have five husbands. And the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet." "Oh, I guess so." So one, she's astounded about his talking with him. Then second of all, the question, and then responding to the fact that, hey, he's talking about living water where you're not going to have to drink again. And then expounds further by asking a question and developing conversation, and the conversation brings forth revelation. Hallelujah. And Jesus says, "Come on, man. Yep, you're right. That's not the way it is. You have a bunch of husbands here." So Jesus is dealing with this in a powerful way. This whole passage of scripture, okay? So verse 19, "Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshiped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, the time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet the time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship him in spirit and in truth." Hallelujah. Are you so glad that you can worship him in both spirit and truth? There's a lot of believers today that are trying to worship him in the spirit. They think they have a closet filled with the Holy Ghost and it's all theirs, but there's no truth in it. Can't find any truth in the closet. They can find the garments of praise. They can find the garments of thanksgiving. They can find the garments of revelation, etc. All these things about the gifts of the Spirit. But there's no truth. There's no truth. There's no clothing of truth in the closet. They have no truth that they can bear upon. And I am seeing that problem within a lot of the church today. A lot of people want to, hey, this is the Holy Ghost, etc. And this is what we're doing and whatnot. But there's a problem. There's a disconnect. There's a disconnect. You can't have the Holy Spirit and the work of God and give honor to God and quote, it's God, if there's no truth in it, because God will not be mocked. And if the truth is not in it, it's a lie. And if you give yourself over to deception or falsehoods or fake news or this or that, etc., and go ahead and talk about it enough that you think it becomes the truth, it's not. No matter how much you try to make it. I want to put on the garments of praise, but I want that garment of truth on too. And you can't have one without the other. It's like the shirt without the pants. It's like the shirt without the pants. Bless God, I'm not going out half naked. And you shouldn't spiritually either. You need the spirit and the truth. And you need that living water that comes from the Lord, who is the truth, that breathes life. And when you receive the truth of God's word, it gives hope. And the water of God's word pours upon that living word that is filled with truth, and that truth comes alive and gives you redemption as the light of God shines and you see things for what it is. Hallelujah. Some people think they got so much divine revelation that they got something different than what God's talking about. I don't know any divine revelation that gives me something different than what God's talking about that can have anything to do with God. Woo! Thank God. That's a problem we have in some of the church today. They think they got a divine revelation, but it ain't got nothing to do with the Word of God, so it can't be revelation. Oh, well, it's just so deep, you don't see it yet. Well, bless God, it's so deep, it's probably someplace it shouldn't be. Hello? So deep, it's in Hades, that's what it is. So deep, it's coming from Hades. Hallelujah. Bless God, I'm getting into meddling now, aren't I? Oh, Lord, help Brother Boston today. Help Brother Boston today. This wasn't in the notes, man. This wasn't in the notes. Oh, hallelujah. We're going to close up in just a minute here, guys. Thank you for putting up with me tonight. But I wanted to share God's word with you. I wanted to minister to you. I wanted to touch you with the Lord. His word. John 4:14, whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up, welling up, welling up unto eternal life. It just builds up. It just builds up. The more you get of God's word on top of the seed of God's word, it just keeps building up. And the plant just keeps on growing. And it just keeps on going. Pretty soon the fruit starts coming. And the life of God. And speaking the word of God and the things of God. And life comes forth. Hallelujah. And people can taste and see that the Lord is good. And his mercy is forevermore. Hallelujah. As they begin to drink from and eat from the tree of knowledge that you have given through your life and through the testimony of God that bears fruit in the life of Christ. I thank the Lord for the time when I came to know him. I thank the Lord for the time that the Holy Spirit began to minister in my life and help me to take hold of some of the valuable truths of God's word. And it gave me hope in that well of water. And there's nothing that satisfies like the Lord Jesus Christ. During Jesus' day, Palestine consisted of three major provinces. Galilee was to the north. Samaria occupied the central highlands, and Judea was to the south. Jesus grew up in Nazareth and made Capernaum his hometown during his earthly ministry. Both of these towns were in the province of Galilee. He was born in Bethlehem, which is just south of Jerusalem, but both of these towns were in the province of Judea. While Jesus was ministering to the people in the Judean countryside early in his ministry, the Pharisees became curious about Jesus as his following increased and increased. In fact, more people were coming to Jesus to be baptized than ever before. And John and his ministry was beginning to diminish. And they were becoming very curious about this ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. While passing through Samaria, Jesus stopped in Sychar. And Sychar was a small village that was famous because of Jacob and the ancestral patriarch of the Jews he was. And the Samaritans loved this place. And it had been bequeathed unto them. One of the historic landmarks in Palestine that are so powerfully drawn to by so many is Jacob's Well. And this well is such a powerful instrument of witness because it brings to us the story of this woman who said, hey, you know, I don't have anything. You don't have anything to draw with. But then Jesus begins to minister to her, and he's trying to deal with her a totally different concept than what she was thinking was coming her direction. And he talks about living water that she could drink that, you know, it'll never run dry. And it will just be life in her soul and her spirit. And she's shocked by it. And then the ministry of the word and the revelation he gives concerning herself, etc. She knew this was a man of God. Today I want you to know God wants us to pour into our spirit the living water of his word. And it can't happen unless we get in a position or place like the well where we can draw that water from. And Jesus Christ is the living water. And unless you go to Him and get into His presence and allow that water to come into your life, you're not going to have the power and the grace and the ministry of the Lord in your life. Know that satisfaction that you can only get from knowing Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I want you to know you need to get into services. I want you to know you need to get into prayer room. I want you to know you need to gather together with God's people. You need to get into God's Word. Take in everything you can, whether it's the Word of God, whether it's worship, whether it's praise. Take in all that God can give you so that you can fill your spirit with the good things of God. At that point, we're going to close here, but one little caveat to that. Be careful what you bring in, okay? We are living in a day where we are bombarded with everything. You got a Facebook account, you got a Twitter account, you got an Instagram account, you got an account somewhere. And all these avenues of information are coming at your direction. Some good, some bad, some indifferent. Be careful not to allow those to distract you or to become your go-to in life. Because there can be a lot of misinformation, can be a lot of this and that, and it seems to predicate itself on popularity and this and that and otherwise, things that God is not really too interested in. The internet can be used for socialization, but we need to use it to minister Jesus Christ and to share God's love and the good news. And we need to be careful not to get so much junk within our lives that we forget about the book. We forget about this book, the Word of God. And we don't read this that much, or we don't get into it this much, and we just ignore it. And we ignore those opportunities to pray with one another. We ignore those opportunities to privately have prayer. Or we ignore those times with our covenant prayer partners. You got my drift here? Take time to know Jesus. Take time to allow the Holy Spirit to minister in your life. Take time to allow His holiness to touch your life. He must increase that I must decrease. I must allow Him to fill my life. And there is just so much out there. And as a pastor, I just want you to know, I really am nervous about the preponderance of information and things and junk out there. And I worry about the people of God not having the filtering tools within their mind spiritually to be able to discern good and evil. Be full of the Spirit. Let God's Word be filled within your heart. And be careful and limit the pathways that come into your mind. I've talked about it before. Whether it's like news, I stick to basically NPR, USA Today, and one other thing. I don't get or take in a lot of news from a lot of places. And different things that you have, be careful about where you're getting it from. And the sources are important. When I was in debate, Gene Speck, who was my coach in high school, my debate coach and the one who basically trained me for debate, one of the things he talked about was the importance of sources, and that your sources needed to be legitimate, and they needed to be truthful, and they needed to be something that could handle the test of time. And that if we went to a debate and we didn't use proper resources, he said we'd be laughed out of the building. The judges, different ones, they would just say, hey, oh, that's poppycock, and that's nothing. That's a joke. And he was right. And sometimes when you didn't have great information or good sources on a debate topic, you tried to use other tactics and things to try to get around it. And I could go into a lot of that. But the thing is, basically, I see it constantly on different news stations that I just accidentally almost go into. I won't even turn on Fox, basically. I'll admit to the church, folks, your pastor doesn't watch Fox. Gave up on it years ago. But part of the reason I did is because they use this kind of style of debating called spread debating, where they don't really have the answer. They don't really have the truth. They don't want to deal with your source that is truthful. And they do spread debate. They throw out all this stuff and get you off center, off kilter, and you never deal with the true subject matter, And so you don't know the truth. They try to say, oh, you sure about that? And they just pound their position and they try to make their position truth. Okay? I've used that tactic in spread debate in high school when we didn't have evidence. It was a way to get the opponent off the subject. Kellyanne Conway, I think her name was. If you ever want to know somebody who's good at it, that's her. She loves that stuff. And she's perfect at it. But that's not what the church should be about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Boy, I'm really getting off the subject tonight. Hallelujah. No, I'm not. I'm right on the subject. Praise God, and you know I am. I'm right on the subject. Value good sources of truth. And this idea of spread debating or spread things out, what I would do when I was dealing with the subject in debate, and the person gave me evidence and I didn't have an answer for it and I had nothing to really contradict it, I just tried to ask all these questions that would confuse, frustrate, or just go to another subject and get them off their subject. So you'd be looking at what I wanted to talk about and not what you wanted to talk about. So my stuff would sound good. But all the time I did that, or every time I did it, the judge saw right through it and we lost the debate. So, hey, you know, it didn't work, but it felt good. It felt good. There you go. Oh, hallelujah. I appreciate y'all. You guys put up with me, man. You put up with me. I tell you, you guys have a lot of grace. You guys have a lot of mercy. Hallelujah. God is so good. I love you. And I appreciate all of you guys. We have been, boy, I have spoke a lot longer than I usually speak. Your pastor does not usually preach to you all. I've just gone on here tonight. Hallelujah. Well, God bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, thank you so very much for what you do in our hearts and lives. And thank you very much for the work and the fruit of your spirit in our lives. God, help us to draw out of the well of springs of living water and take in the Holy Spirit and allow God's Spirit to minister, and let the truth and the life of Christ flow within us, and help us to take that truth of your word and see it germinate and grow, and help us to see the work and the fruit of God in action, touching hearts, touching lives. We love you tonight, God, and thank you for us coming together, and thank you, Lord, for the ministry of your love that you share with us each and every day. And we praise you and thank you for this day and what you've shown us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, God bless you guys. Thanks for being with us tonight. Amen. Till next week.